Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined on this Tuesday morning by Andrew Erickson and by our guest, Joe Dolan. Joe, thank you so much for coming on. We were talking, it's that time of year. We are already starting to have the exhaustion creep in of a long fantasy season. We're not even really halfway through yet.
Oh, yeah, it's and we got eight teams, it's week eight, and we just had six teams on bye, and now we have no teams on bye, which is great for fantasy football, but not so hot for the waiver wire this week. So maybe if you're trying to improve your team, you need to be working the trade market, which is, well, that's what you brought me on to talk about. So I'm glad to be with you guys.
We are very excited to have you. I want to get your guys, both your opinions very quickly. We don't often cover the primetime games on the next morning show because everybody already watched. They already kind of know what's going on. But there was such a standout game on Monday Night Football from Jordan Addison. First of all, just the Vikings winning in general, big surprise. But the real, real true breakout game, it felt like, for Jordan Addison. 7 catches on 10 targets, 123 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Erickson, I'll start with you here. Just what was your kind of main takeaway from that Addison explosion?
I mean, he's just a honestly, I think this is what he's been doing all year. Like, he's been delivering splash plays. He's been catching touchdowns. He's tied for 2nd in the NFL in receiving touchdowns behind only Tyreek Hill with 6. So he's been running really hot in terms of efficiency, ripping off these big plays left and right. And in this game, he was really involved from a target share perspective. So again, you know, whether Jefferson's there or not, like, I don't envision his production and his efficiency like going down in any way. And what we found is when Jefferson plays with him, he's sufficient because coverage is not necessarily dictated to try to stop him. And through these last 2 games and, you know, pretty favorable matchups, like, he's been able to expose defenses, especially on that play before the second half ended where he just rips the ball away and just runs into the end zone. Like, that was just an amazing play. And he's a big time playmaker. So Addison's, you're starting him every single week.
Yeah, Joe, we have talked a lot on the show about how rookie wide receivers, you see that second half of the season explosion. Yep. Those are the types of players that often become league winners. You think we could be seeing that with Jordan Addison? Not that he has been inefficient early in the season, but just another step up.
Well, the thing here is with Minnesota, and I know we make fun of the Vikings and primetime Cousins and all that stuff. Cousins was really good last night, by the way. The thing about them, though, is since Cousins has arrived in Minnesota, they've been what I like to call a narrow fantasy team. They typically give it to one back. I know that's not necessarily the case now. They have 2 wide receivers and a tight end that they throw the ball to, and you start those guys every week. And Jordan Addison has just seamlessly gone into the Adam Thielen role. And, you know, I remember, obviously, in April, 4 straight wide receivers come off the board, and I oftentimes forget which order those 4 wide receivers came off. But I'm stunned once again to see Jordan Addison, who was a Biletnikoff Award winner at Pitt. Then he goes to USC and is hugely productive. He falls to the 4th wide receiver drafted. And I'm not writing the book or closing the book on Smith and Jigba, Quentin Johnson. I know it hasn't been great for Johnston so far. Or certainly Zay Flowers, who has been productive as well. But it seems like we have to start to adjust these, I guess it's not arbitrary, but the old trope of, oh, if my wide receiver doesn't weigh X, then I'm not drafting him.
Yeah.
Devontae Smith is a dog. You know, Jordan Addison is very clearly a dog. And sometimes I think in the modern NFL, if a guy can play, he can play. We've seen teams change the way they evaluate the quarterback position. And certainly they're going to start needing to change the way they evaluate the wide receiver position, because we're seeing some of these really small guys start to produce big time. Even Tutu Atwell, who I think is the lightest skill position player in the NFL, is making plays for the Rams. So you've got to maybe adjust your models a little bit when a player who can clearly produce like a Jordan Addison is coming into the league.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun to look back on that wide receiver class in the first round in the years to come. And we knew it at the time when guys at the same position go back to back to back to back, that it's going to be one that you look back on. And yeah, certainly Quentin Johnson bringing up the rear so far. But cases to be made for any of those 4 guys. This is a running back show, though. We are going to talk about some week 8 buy low, sell high running backs here. We're also going to talk about some of the most traded running backs. That's where we're going to start, running backs. the number one most traded running back in, you know, the last day and a half since week seven ended, Rashad White. So Erickson, I'll start with you here. Are you buying, selling, or holding on Rashad White right now?
Remind me again who Rashad White plays on Thursday night. The Buffalo Bills, who are averaging like 6 yards per carry to running backs. They made the Patriots offense, the most inept offense on planet Earth, and the Giants look like they could move the ball. Look like the 07 Patriots out there. So I want Rashad White. I'm buying Rashad White because everybody hates Rashad White. Because like, oh, he's not efficient. It's like, guys, like his run blocking is horrible. The Buccaneers cannot run the football. But you know who they can run the football against? The worst run defense in the NFL. The Bills defense is so injured all over the place. They can't stop anybody. So if I need a running back with some upside this week, Rashad White is still getting all the snaps and all the usage that we want in fantasy football. So I'm buying Rashad White before this Thursday night game. And then if you want to trade him after that, that's the move to make, in my opinion. You want to sell high, that's the time to do so is after the Bills game, not before. So I'm going to buy Rashad White.
Joe, White's weekly finishes in half PPR, RB 38, 9, 39, 20 bye week, 37, and RB 16 last week. Again, that's in half PPR. Yeah. Are you buying, selling, or holding on him right now?
I think he might be more of a hold. I don't know if I want to sell him right now. Now, the thing is, they've clearly struggled to run the football. They were mixing in, remember Sean Tucker? He was the big hot name early in the season. They tried it with him. I don't think he's played a snap since week three. The last couple weeks, they've tried to get Keyshawn Vaughn involved, and he can't get going. So Rashad White, even though his numbers aren't good, they're still better than the other options that they've tried, which to me indicates that he's the best back here. The concern I have is maybe the Bucs, they see this as an imminently winnable division. They go make a move at the trade deadline for another running back. That would be my concern with Tampa Bay. But Rashad White is currently tied with Jahmyr Gibbs for RB21 in expected fantasy points. Obviously, he has not lived up to that in terms of actual fantasy points scored. He's down at RB31 in that department. He's more of a hold for me, though, because at the very least, he's getting the role. He has the check down role, and he's produced as a receiver. So he's just kind of a boring guy to have on your team, and then hopefully some better matchups come down the pike.
Let's throw out some potential trades here. These are actual trades that have gone down in Fantasy Pros My Playbook involving Rashad White. So I want to get your guys' opinion on if you would also make these trades or if you wouldn't. First one here is, we actually saw both of these, Rashad White for Jaxon Smith-Njigba. We also saw Rashad White for Jordan Addison. So for either of those two guys, Joe Dolan, would you have traded Rashad White?
Not for Smith-Njigba. I sure would have for Addison. I mean, Addison's looking like a, like you guys mentioned, a potential league winner. I don't see a league winner in Rashad White's range of outcomes, even if I think he could still be a useful fantasy running back.
Another one for you, Joe. Rashad White plus Jordan Addison for Justin Jefferson.
I would make that deal. I typically like being on the side of the one in a 2-for-1 trade because the one is normally the locked in starter. And the other two, as good as Addison looked last week, Addison's not going to outproduce a healthy Justin Jefferson if Justin Jefferson is healthy, but I would take the risk on that deal for sure.
Last one for you here, Joe. Rashad White plus Tyler Lockett for Kenneth Walker. So based on your general approach, it sounds like you would also do that one.
I would do that one too because Walker's a locked in RB1, so I would do that one. Yes.
Erickson, what do you think about any of those? There was Rashad White for JSN, Rashad White for Jordan Addison. There was White plus Addison for Justin Jefferson, White plus Lockett for Kenneth Walker. Any of those stand out to you, Erickson?
I think, yeah, going after the receivers, I think makes a lot of sense because I don't think as useful as Rashad White can be as like he's a floor play. Like he's someone that you can just, he's your RB2. Like that's what he's been all year. That's what he's going to be all year. Probably just an RB2, but not someone that's going to be, oh, I won my week because of Rashad White. Like that's probably never going to happen. Whereas these rookie receivers, we saw it during Amon-Ra St. Brown's rookie year. It's like they get a pocket stretch of games where they get a lot of targets and they're putting up 20, 25 points every single week and they're winning you weeks. I just don't think that's going to happen with Rashad White, you know, regardless of who he's playing. So I'd rather be dealing White in most of those deals.
There are always fun questions around the NFL this time of year, like who are the pretenders and who are the contenders? We're almost halfway through the NFL season, but DraftKings Sportsbook is still pumping out unbeatable offers every single game. New customers can bet just $5 on anything to get $200 instantly in bonus bets, and DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of a sweetener offer every game day this October. There are actually 7 games on the Week 8 slate with a spread under a field goal. That's on DraftKings. So there should be tons of close finishes this week. My favorite of those games is probably Jags Steelers in Pittsburgh, with Jacksonville 2.5-point favorites on the road. Should be a fun matchup between the Jags offense and the Steelers defense. So I'm really looking forward to that one. And of course, as a Ravens fan, I'll be pulling for the Jaguars in that one. However you guys plan to bet that game, get in on the football action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the app now and use code FANTASYPROS. New customers can bet just $5 on anything to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code FANTASYPROS. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. Licensee partner Golden Nugget Lake Charles, Louisiana. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Guys, I rescued a dog over the summer, and in the 3 or 4 months I've had him, he's barked maybe 4 times. And of course, he just started barking while we're live, doing a show. So that's always fun. Hopefully it's not coming out too loudly. Let's go to our next most traded running back here. And it's a rookie, Jahmyr Gibbs, coming off his best game in terms of fantasy and in terms of real life too, as a pro for the Lions in that blowout loss to the Ravens. Joe, I'll start with you this time. Are you buying, selling, or holding on Jahmyr Gibbs?
I'll probably buy on Gibbs. The irony is his best game for fantasy comes in by far the Lions' worst game, just a complete egg laying there against Baltimore. But I think you saw the player that we thought he could be. Check down option, explosive. He scored the 21-yard touchdown. And in this offense, as we saw last year, you know, the Lions had 2 top 20 running backs last year, and they replaced them both, which tells you what they thought of those running backs. But in this offense, 2 fantasy relevant running backs certainly can produce. And Jahmyr Gibbs, to me, like, even though he's the number 2 in Detroit, I'd rather have him than the number 1 on, oh God, at least 10 teams, including Rashad White, who we just discussed. So now I'm buying on Jahmyr Gibbs. I think he's a solid, maybe not buy low after last week, but his talent was eventually going to win out in this backfield. Frustrating though he may be when David Montgomery gets back, I think he's going to prove obviously last week and next week that he is somebody they need to involve in their offense going forward.
Yeah, Erickson, he had 11 rushes, 68 yards, and a touchdown. He also had 9 catches for 58 yards, so PPR monster there. Are you buying, selling, or holding on Gibbs, Erickson?
I'm going to sell, actually. I'm going to sell high on Jahmyr Gibbs. Again, looking at the offense, this was not a game that they played well. So I don't think the Lions are going to look back on the tape and be like, oh my God, like, we were so great on offense. Like, let's get Gibbs more involved in this offense. Like, yet he played 87% of the snaps. He scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter. What did Gibbs do in the first half? 3 carries for 9 yards, 2 catches for 5 yards when the game was already out of hand. So I don't think that they view Gibbs like fantasy managers are, like, after this breakout game. They're looking like, wow, our offense was horrible. We didn't have David Montgomery. We need to get David Montgomery back in the offense. They have a bye week in week 9. They play the Raiders week 8. So I think if you have Gibbs right now, I think you got to hold him if you need to win this week, because they're playing the Raiders. It's obviously a great matchup for him. And if Montgomery doesn't come back, which I don't anticipate he will. But at the same time, you know, I didn't think Montgomery was going to come back on that Thursday game either. And then he did. And he scored 3 touchdowns against the Packers. So right now, I mean, Gibbs has been frustrating to own because of Montgomery. And the team loves David Montgomery. Like, I don't think they're going to get away from him. He's already been hurt, and they already went back to him already this year. So I've been tricked too many times at the Lions offense, being convinced that, oh, well, they love this guy. He's so talented. They can't put the genie back in the bottle. They do it all the time. They do it all the time. So for me, I think it's an opportunity to cash out on Gibbs, thinking that another manager will be like, oh my God, it's his backfield. Now he's the clear RB1 over David Montgomery. I mean, the rest of the season, we'd rather have David Montgomery or Jahmyr Gibbs, like straight up. Like, I think I'd rather have Montgomery, to be totally honest. Like, what have we seen from this Lions offense that suggests, okay, they're going to totally go away from Montgomery and not take and use Gibbs instead? I don't think that's going to happen. So for me, I think it's a sell high. Again, selling high is always something that's not fun to do, but that's what makes it a sell high. Like, I think you can get a lot for him based on his performance in fantasy, not necessarily real life.
Let's get into some trades here. By the way, I don't know what the Lions are thinking, but David Montgomery being out was not the reason they lost that game. It was just a full complete
meltdown. But they can make the excuse like, oh, well, we didn't have Montgomery, couldn't establish the run. Like,
make that point, exactly. Yeah. All right, let's get to some trades here. And this first one I had put down before Monday Night Football. I didn't get to watch Monday Night Football last night, so I saw that there was some stuff with TJ Hockenson and, like, injury, but, like, Kevin O'Connell was actually telling him to go down. I don't know if you guys can weigh in on that better than I can. But the first trade I'd put down when putting this together yesterday was Jahmyr Gibbs for TJ Hockenson. So, Erickson, what do you think about that one?
I'm not trading for tight ends. Like, I don't know. I feel like I'd rather have running backs. I feel like there's enough tight ends that I can stream or do things like that. I'm not someone that likes to go out and trade for tight ends, especially with how bad running back is, like, all over the place. So I'd rather shoot for something more than Hockenson, to be totally honest with Gibbs.
What do you think about that one, Joe? Jahmyr Gibbs for TJ Hockenson.
I think it's easier to, as frustrating as the fantasy tight end position is, it's easier to find a usable tight end than, you know, I had teams where I'm starting Jalen Warren at running back because of injuries, you know? So, like, I'd probably shy away from that. Hockenson had a couple of, like, looked like lower leg tweaks, maybe a foot injury, but he came back in the game, obviously produced. So we might see him on the injury report this week, but it didn't look like anything to freak out about. By the way,
Erickson, how about Jahmyr Gibbs plus Adam Thielen for Terry McLaurin plus Travis Etienne?
Oh yeah, I don't even need McLaurin. They can keep him. I just want Etienne.
Etienne's the best player in the deal.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I kind of expected you would err on that side, Erickson, and I guess both of you. And then the last one here is Jahmyr Gibbs plus Calvin Ridley for Bijan Robinson plus Nico Collins. Joe, how do you make of that one?
Oh, God, put me on the spot here. Arthur Smith. Bijan Robinson plus Nico Collins. I'd probably take the Bijan side. Okay. And maybe I'm just a hopeless romantic for actual good players when Arthur Smith hates them. But no, I'll take the Bijan side of that one.
Erickson, you're going to be hitting more on Bijan in a second. But quickly, which side of that would you take? Gibbs plus Ridley or Bijan plus Nico?
Bijan, Nico said, easy.
All right. Before you guys make any trades at home, you need to check out our trade analyzer at fantasypros.com/myplaybook or on the Fantasy Football My Playbook app. Instantly see who wins any trade and how it shifts the balance of power in your league for the week, for the rest of the season, and even beyond for dynasty leaguers. Stay ahead and play smart with the trade analyzer on fantasypros.com/myplaybook and on the Fantasy Football My Playbook app. Guys, let's get into the meat of the show here. The buy low running back segment. Joe, we will start with you. Who is your top buy low running back right now?
It's Tony Pollard. There was this kind of narrative going around that the Cowboys, you know, the red zone offense. By the way, everyone's red zone offense sucks. I don't know if you've noticed that, but the red zone offense stinks because they don't have that pounder like Zeke Elliott going. And that's why Tony Pollard isn't cut out to be a bell cow. And well, I will tell you this, by expected fantasy points per game, which basically weights his touches and opportunities by where they are located on the field, Tony Pollard is number two among all running backs to only Alvin Kamara right now. Alvin Kamara's expected fantasy points per game is otherworldly, but Tony Pollard's is second. He's currently down at the RB14 in fantasy points per game, though. And coming out of the bye, I think the Cowboys offense is going to be, I don't know if it's going to be a great offense, but I think Tony Pollard is going to positively regress. I think he's going to score more touchdowns, catch a few more passes, and the Cowboys are going to eventually play a normal game. Like, they just haven't really played a bunch of normal games this year, either getting boat raced or doing the boat racing. And in normal games, I think Tony Pollard is going to have that 65 to 75% snap share, a solid target share, and I think he'll be their red zone back. He is my top buy low. I mean, that is a guy who's producing like an RB2 right now, who has a hammer RB1 workload, and that's the kind of guy I want to buy on.
What kinds of, you know, big names would you be willing to give up for him? Like maybe a big name receiver? Are you looking at guys in like that low end wide receiver one range? Would you only want to trade a high end wide receiver two? Who would you be willing to move for Pollard?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Like I would think it is like the low end wide receiver one type of guys. Those the wide receiver two guy who not your Amon-Ra St. Browns. You know, I'm not trading an Amon-Ra St. Brown, or I'm not trading like an AJ Brown for Tony Pollard, but I'm willing to maybe part with a Devontae Smith. I'm willing to part with a Michael Pittman type of guy, Christian Kirk. I wonder if those are the kind of guys that you can get or trade for Tony Pollard. DJ Moore, I think I'd be willing to trade for Tony Pollard. As good as DJ Moore has been, it's been kind of all or nothing with him, though Tyson Bagent might change things. It's a trade though with Pollard, who I feel like he could legitimately be the number one running back rest of season. And the role suggests that, the production has not so far.
Erickson, you've also got a big name running back here as your top buy low.
Bijan Robinson. Look, stock hit rock bottom. This is when you buy low. This is the exact definition of buying low on a running back. He can't possibly have a worse game than he did this last week. And like we all kind of know what happened, but for those that are just tuning in, it's like he had one touch because he was dealing with a headache. He came out and said that after the game, he just wasn't feeling right. He felt bad on Saturday night. He tried to take some medicine on Sunday morning. He did not feel good. So although like the narrative around is that, oh, well, Arthur Smith hates Bijan Robinson, I mean, Bijan Robinson just wasn't like up to playing. And just based on the fact that they went to the game thinking that he was going to play, but then before the game, Bijan's like, I can't go, coach. So it's like, okay, then I'm going to use these other running backs. This is a one-off, very weird circumstance that happened, but people are going to hold this against Bijan Robinson because they started him and he got basically 0 points, and they're going to be frustrated because Arthur Smith does this anyway with his players. But we saw it week one with Drake London. Drake London was not involved at all. What happened after week one? Drake London has a 23% target share and is the number one receiver in the offense. He's been pretty productive since him basically putting up a dud in week one. So the offense is going to get back to Bijan Robinson. And therefore, I just see this as a good value proposition to buy on a guy like Robinson, especially when you look at his playoff schedule. It's really, really good. And you're never going to get him cheaper than you are right now. So people are freaking out. I think that you could honestly get like Deontay, that you could sell high on Deontay Foreman and probably get Bijan. Like there are trades that are going to happen in leagues like that because people are freaking out about Bijan. So that's the move that I would make.
The expert consensus rankings and the rest of season running back rankings in half PPR has Bijan. He did drop a couple of spots. He's still RB5 in those consensus rankings. Same question that I gave to Joe Erickson. What kind of guys are you looking, you know, what kind of names can you throw out that you'd be willing to move maybe at a different position, like a wide receiver? Is it kind of that same range or maybe even a little more aggressive than he was for Pollard?
No, I think it's probably the same similar types of players. Like I always think just it's good practice to sell wide receivers after they have big games, because wide receivers are naturally more volatile than running backs anyway. And wide receivers have big games, then they have bad games the next day because of the matchups that they're playing, whether it's zone, man coverage. Like that's why it fluctuates outside the really top tier wide receivers, whereas running backs are much more consistent. And with Bijan, how good he is involved in the passing game, I think that he's just such a good person to buy. And again, I think anyone that had a big week this week, that's who you should be packaging to go and get Bijan, because that manager is really frustrated. I have Bijan in a bunch of spots, and yeah, it sucks, but it's life. Like people wouldn't be holding this against him if he was just ruled out before the game. Like he wouldn't be being docked nearly as much. It's just a bad run out overall for fantasy managers.
Or if the Falcons actually put him on the injury report like they should have.
Yeah. That's the other thing too, which the NFL is also like investigating now because they didn't put him on the injury report. So Arthur Smith might get
there's no head coach in football that's going to get less benefit of the doubt from fantasy managers than Arthur Smith. So that's thoroughly unsurprising. Let's get to the sell high running backs here. Joe, who's your top guy?
It's Derrick Henry. And look, Derrick Henry, it feels like the Lucy with the football every year with him. It's like, this is the year I'm defading Derrick Henry. And then he has a bad week, well, a great week one and then a bad week two. And then he goes nuts the rest of the year. But the Titans trading Kevin Byard, the safety, to the Eagles suggests a teardown is coming. Now, I don't know if Derrick Henry is going to be part of that teardown. So there's two angles here. Does Derrick Henry end up in a spot where maybe he becomes the bell cow, or does he end up in a spot where he's not the bell cow and he's kind of part of a rotation, which is like where he is in Tennessee right now, because Tajay Spears is playing a pretty significant role in that backfield. And if, and the other angle is, if the Titans hold Derrick Henry and this team just gets worse because they sell other parts, does Tajay Spears' role increase? There's too many variables here. I'd look to move Derrick Henry if at all possible.
If he does get traded by the Titans, is there a spot that you're hoping he would land if he's on your team?
So if I were, let's just say if the spot where if I was folding a 19 against the dealer holding 18 and the dealer gets a 3, that would be Baltimore to me. Because Baltimore is the spot where I feel like he could get traded and they could put him in that offense and he would be the guy. Look, they have Gus Edwards, right? Derrick Henry is like 3 times Gus Edwards. Like, that's what he is. Baltimore is the spot where if I have Derrick Henry and I'm like, Dolan, nobody wants to trade for him in my league, that's the spot where I would hope he goes, because the Ravens look like a Super Bowl contender to me after what they did to the Lions. And it's just that running back position, which is fine. It's functional right now for them with Edwards and Justice Hill. But that's the spot where I'm like, man, that could Derrick Henry could be a real game changer.
Yeah, it's interesting.
They need the Heisman backfield. They need to bring it back.
Yeah.
The Heisman backfield.
That was so fun. Baltimore is so interesting because, like, on the one hand, they already have a guy who, like, is in the same box as Derrick Henry in Gus Edwards, like, stylistically. But you're right. Henry's just so much better at that thing. So it's not like he differentiates the skill set in the backfield. He just significantly improves. So that would be super fun.
That's just the logical move, because what kind of team should be trading for an older running back?
Yeah.
The team where that running back is going to make that fractional difference that could mean the difference between a championship game loss and a Super Bowl appearance.
Yeah. Again, as a Ravens fan, I would be super on board with that. Erickson, who's your top sell high running back?
It's going to be Deontay Foreman. For the Chicago Bears, coming off a 3-touchdown game in a smash spot against the Las Vegas Raiders. Guys, we did this last year with Deontay Foreman. He had a game where he scored 3 touchdowns. And what did he do the next week? Scored 5 fantasy points. Like, I really don't think that this is too hard to parse through. Like, he's benefited a lot from injuries in the Bears backfield, giving him the starting role. You know, again, the great matchup against the Raiders. The matchups coming up are not nearly as favorable for Deontay Foreman. What happens when Roshon Johnson comes back? What happens when Khalil Herbert comes back? Like, there's just too many question marks with this backfield overall, where this is the perfect time to sell out on Deontay Foreman. Like, coming off just the absolute monster game, I think that putting him on the block, packaging with another player to try to move up at running back, package Foreman to try to get Travis Etienne, like, do whatever you can, like, do things like that. You know, we talked about some of these buy low running backs. Add a receiver, go get Tony Pollard. Add a receiver, go get Bijan Robinson. Like, this is the move to make, I think, when it comes to Deontay Foreman, because it'd be one thing if this was like a rookie running back, like having a massive breakout game, but we've done this same song and dance with Deontay Foreman, not just last year, but the year before that. Like, there's a reason why teams are not signing him to like this lucrative deal. Like, he plays running back, but he was a healthy scratch to like the beginning of the season. Like, he was behind Khalil Herbert and Roshon Johnson. So I get that he had a great game, but I think it's the perfect time, perfect opportunity to sell high on Deontay Foreman.
If you guys need new tires for your car, Discount Tire is your go-to. They have exceptional service, and you get a 30% shorter average wait time when you buy and book online at discounttire.com. They have this really cool feature called Treadwell, which is an online tire buying guide that gives you transparency on tire performance, as well as personalized recommendations based on your location and driving habits. Discount Tire is also the largest independent tire retailer in the country, so it has the biggest selection of tires and wheels. And here's a pro tip from the experts at Discount Tire. You can prevent wear and boost gas mileage by keeping your tires properly inflated. Tire pressure supports the weight of your vehicle and is important to check for safety. So if it's been over a month since you last checked your tire pressure, stop by one of their local stores for a free tire safety and air pressure check. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of. Wide receivers. We will dive right in here. We are talking some week 8 buy low, sell high wide receivers. And we're going to start with our most traded wide receivers segment. And we're going to start with the number one most traded wide receiver right now. And that's T. Higgins, actually, coming off of the bye week. And Joe, I'll start with you. Are you buying, selling, or holding on T. Higgins right now?
No, that he is an absolute massive buy for me right now. He's coming off of a bye, so I'm buying him off of a bye. He had a depressed role. I think he played only 54% of the snaps in their last game when he was playing through the rib injury. But Cincinnati is comfortably back to being a pass heavy team. They had a plus 23% pass rate over expectation in week six. So Joe Burrow is obviously getting back to health. And they were a plus 16% pass rate over expectation team in their final six games with Higgins last season. And he scored over 20 points per game in those games. His value is about rock bottom right now. And I never want to sell a guy when his value is rock bottom, especially when he's on a team that looks like it's getting better. T. Higgins is a massive buy low for me.
Yeah, you had wanted to potentially even include him in our buy low segment. And then I was like, you don't actually have to because he's the most traded guy. So we're going to talk about him anyway. Erickson, are you in lockstep here? Are you buying or are you considering selling or holding?
No, 100%. You got to buy T. Higgins. Look, I think that the thing with Higgins, you can't get lost, is this is a guy that we've already seen produce wide receiver two numbers every single year of his career. Like, he's already done it. So the fact that he's been so bad, all it means is, like, at the end of the year, he's going to be wide receiver two. Like, that's what he has done at the NFL level. So what does that mean? Well, it means he's going to finish much higher than his wide receiver 60 ranking that he's been so far throughout the year. So how does that happen? Well, it means he's going to put together a lot of wide receiver one weeks. So I love T. Higgins as a buy. There are so many receivers that you've been frustrated with that you have on your roster that just flip them to get T. Higgins. Like, that's the move I would make. And I think that T. Higgins is probably one of my most rostered players, like, entering this week if I can get him in a trade coming off the bye week.
He is, you know, ranked in a buyable range too. He's dropped down to wide receiver 29 in the consensus rest of season rankings. And, you know, again, that's in half PPR. So that's an area where if the person who has him in your league agrees with that ranking, you could make a very compelling offer for that. These are some trades that actually have gone down in my playbook involving T. Higgins. These are all real actual trades. So I want to get your guys' opinion on them, whether we like them or dislike them. And the first one, and Erickson, I'll start with you, is T. Higgins for Sam Laporta. Now, we talked during the running back segment how you're not a big fan of trading for tight ends. Laporta's been quite good as a rookie. Would you trade T. Higgins for Sam Laporta if you needed a tight end, Erickson?
I think, yeah, I mean, if I need a tight end, I think it makes sense to do if you don't want to stream the position, because Laporta is kind of having like a breakout and I think that his role is going to stay steady throughout the rest of the season. And receivers, you can kind of, I think you can replace a little bit easier than and tight end, different from running back. So, yeah, I think I would make that deal. I think it's fair, but just based on positional need. Yeah.
What do you think about that one, Joe?
I'd take the Higgins side. Yeah. I just think Higgins is the guy who's going to look like a league winner by the end of the year, at least more likely to be a league winner out of this, even though Sam Laporta has been great, but I want the Higgins side.
Yeah. Joe, sticking with you, T. Higgins plus Jalen Waddle for Jamar Chase.
Whoa.
A lot of big names in that.
I'll take the Chase side, but I also think Waddle is kind of a buy low receiver. So, like, normally in those 2-for-1 trades, like I mentioned on the last episode we did, it's somebody trying to trade you 2 potato chips for a cheeseburger, you know, like, oh, I have, but there's 2 of them. No, but this one's much closer to 2, like, real value, but I'd still take the Chase side.
Erickson.
Chase side. Yeah.
It's tough to pass up Chase, but it is a lot of value. That's a fun one. And then the last one here, Erickson, T. Higgins plus James Cook for CeeDee Lamb plus DJ Moore. Again, that's Higgins and James Cook for CeeDee Lamb and DJ Moore.
I think I'd rather have the Higgins and Cook side. I mean, Cook is a running back that you can start. Like, that in itself is worth a lot of value, even though he's not without his flaws, you know, with the Bills offense. I mean, he's still good enough to you can play as like your RB2. And again, we talked about Higgins. Like, Higgins, I think, could be a wide receiver one, you know, through the rest of the season, because he's got ground to catch up to be a wide receiver two when it's all said and done. So I like the Higgins side. You know, Lamb has been okay. You know, he's been kind of up and down this year, and DJ Moore is going to be a wide receiver two at the end of the year too, because that's his MO. So I would rather take upside with Higgins and shore up my running back spot with Cook.
Joe, how about that one? Higgins and Cook for Lamb and Moore.
See, DJ Moore is a blind spot for me because I never get him right, ever. Just ever. And maybe it's because he's never had a good quarterback. But the one thing that concerns me here and why I lean to the Lamb and Moore side is the fact that Buffalo has been kind of sniffing around other running backs. There's been the rumors, Leonard Fournette, and then that turned out not to be true, or at the very least, he didn't actually visit. And I wonder if they still don't trust Cook in like that grinder role when it gets to November and December and the temperatures start falling into the 30s in Buffalo. Are they going to go to more Latavius Murray? Damian Harris is obviously on IR after the scary situation in the primetime game. And I wonder if that's going to give them the impetus to go get a bigger running back, which could hurt James Cook's role. That's the reason I'm going to lean to the Lamb and Moore side here.
Before we move on with the show, let's take a second to talk about Factor. As somebody who's trying to eat healthier, I try not to go out to eat as much as I used to, but I found that it gets pretty tricky to cook from home all the time, especially now that we're all so swamped during football season. Fall is the best time of year, but it's also probably the busiest for us. My solution is Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, which delivers chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals straight to my door. It helps me stay on track with my healthy lifestyle, and most importantly, it saves me time. Factor's meals are fresh, never frozen, and ready in just 2 minutes, so I can skip the grocery store trips and food prep and still get all the nutrition I need. And they've got different categories to best fit your needs, whether it's effortless meals with lunch to go, health conscious options with Calorie Smart, upscale meals with Gourmet Plus, or even a pure extra boost with Protein Plus. Oh, and they've got tons of breakfast and snack options as well. I love the breakfast ones. Whichever you choose, with Factor, you can rest assured you're making an environmentally sustainable choice. Head to factormeals.com/fantasypros50 and use code fantasypros50 to get 50% off. That's code fantasypros50 at factormeals.com/fantasypros50 to get 50% off.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Guys, the other most traded wide receiver right now is Amari Cooper. So, Erickson, are you buying, selling, or holding on Cooper?
I'm going to buy Amari Cooper. This is always the move to make. You buy him after he has horrible games because it means that the good game is coming next because he's always boom or bust every single week. And look, the usage was still really good for him last week, even though he was horrible. He had 2 catches for 22 yards. He had 123 air yards, 45% air yard share. Like, he's still seeing all the downfield targets that you could possibly want in the Browns offense. Now, I know Deshaun Watson hasn't been good. I know PJ Walker hasn't been good, but Cooper got it done against the 49ers in, bad weather. He got it done against a tougher defense. So who's to say he can't get it done this week? Like, again, Seattle Seahawks, like Baltimore Ravens, Arizona Cardinals are some of the matchups coming up for the Browns. I don't think that's a bad spot to try and get Cooper because you can get him so cheap because people are sick of him. He's like, oh, my God, he sucked. Like, but it was like they have a rotating door carousel at the quarterback position. Of course, he's going to be inconsistent. But he's still clearly the alpha in that passing game. I just think you can get him super cheap. So for me, Amari Cooper, dominant air yard share this year, sixth overall in the NFL of 45%. So I'm going to buy Cooper.
Joe, what do you think about Cooper? His rest of season ranking right now is wide receiver 17.
Okay, so here's the deal with Amari Cooper. I'm going to both buy and sell him. Okay, here's why. I am going to buy Amari Cooper when he has a home game coming up. And then I'm going to go right back to the trade market and sell him when he has an away game coming up. This is absurd, guys. This is Scott Barrett at Fantasy Points, my colleague, has tracked this over the years, and every year it happens. So over the last 7 years, Amari Cooper averages 78 yards per game and 18 fantasy points per game at home. He averages 52 yards per game and 11.5 fantasy points per game on the road. What are his splits with the Cleveland Browns? 80 yards per game at home, 17.5 DraftKings fantasy points, 54 yards per game and 11.5 DraftKings fantasy points. Literally the exact same that it's been when it's in his time with the Cowboys and in his time with the Raiders. It is absurd. So ranking him for this season, he would be the wide receiver 10 at home and the wide receiver 44 on the road. He's coming off a road game. And like, I know that sounds so weird, but Amari Cooper literally he needs to somehow hire somebody to drive a U-Haul with his own bed in it to every single road game. He's got enough money to do it. He needs to do that. It is absurd. And at some point, you have to acknowledge that the sample is large enough to say Amari Cooper just does not sleep well at hotels for some reason.
I was just going to say, he clearly hates hotels. Can we get him a sponsorship with Airbnb or something? And get his road woes fixed?
I'd like to get Amari Cooper's take. I wish a reporter would be like, hey, so we've noticed this trend where you're really good at home, but you don't produce on the road. Do you have any take on that? He's like, he would come back and be like, you know what? I really don't sleep that great in hotels. If you just came out and said that, I'd be okay, we have justification on why he splits so many. He's I don't know.
what's the bed that Dak Prescott is the spokesperson for? Yeah, sleep number. We gotta get Amari Cooper in that campaign and get his rodos fixed. But yeah, it's because it's not just one team, right? It'd be one thing if it's he really likes the Cowboys stadium. It's three teams now. It's bonkers. We've got some real trades that have gone down here involving Cooper that I will run by you guys. Joe, starting with you this time. Amari Cooper for Damian Pierce.
Oh, Cooper side by far. I'm worried. I'm scared S-less about Damian Pierce. I think there is a non-zero chance Devin Singletary takes over that backfield. So no, I want the Cooper side easy.
Erickson, how about you on that one?
So I actually like the Pierce side, and I understand the concerns with Singletary and how more involved he was in the last game before the bye week for the Texans. But didn't we see Alexander Mattison be more involved before Monday Night Football? These backfields can turn on a dime. And I think that we're overreacting, to one game when it was Damian Pierce for five straight weeks of straight bell cow usage and Devin Singletary, because the week before Devin Singletary was more involved, he didn't have a single carry in the game. So I'm not willing to buy it as Singletary's taking over until I see 2 weeks of it. And if I'm a week late, so be it. But I'm not going to miss Damian Pierce against the Carolina Panthers, because if he gets 25 carries against that defense, that dude's going for 100 yards and two touchdowns. So I like Damian Pierce, especially with Cooper on the road this week at Seattle.
Next one here. Amari Cooper plus Deontay Johnson for Calvin Ridley plus Joe Mixon. Again, that's Amari Cooper and Deontay Johnson for Calvin Ridley and Joe Mixon. Joe, what do you think about that one?
I'll take the Ridley and Mixon side. Ridley's been a disappointment. And Mixon, I talked on our last episode how I like to target running backs who are underperforming their expected fantasy points. Mixon has drastically underperformed his expected fantasy points in each of the last two seasons, so maybe this is just who he is. But a running back with Mixon's role, so few of those guys exist that I'll probably be buying them at every opportunity. And as I mentioned with Higgins, I just think that Bengal offense is getting better.
Okay, Erickson, so which side would you take on that one?
So I actually like the Joe Mixon side. So again, Joe mentioned it about Mixon, how he's underperforming at all facets. And we kind of saw this last year too, but what happened last year is he cashed in that regression in that one massive game against the Panthers. That game's probably not going to happen this week because they're playing the 49ers. But the week after that, the Bengals are playing the Bills, who are the worst run defense in the NFL. So that's going to be your Joe Mixon 4-touchdown game, and you want to make sure he's on your team. So get him now. Bad matchup against the 49ers. You can get him super cheap. Get him against the Bills, and I think that he'll give you an RB1 performance that you'll be glad you had him in.
One more here. Amari Cooper and Justin Fields for Bijan Robinson and Chris Olave. And I do just want to mention, we're going to get a little more detail on Olave later. He was arrested last night. It appears like it's not, I don't want to say it's not serious whenever a guy gets arrested. He was apparently going 70 miles per hour in a 35 zone, so reckless driving. As of right now, we're kind of operating under the assumption that he's not going to miss any time for this. So operating under that assumption, and, we'll change our, opinions if things change, but operating under that assumption, Amari Cooper and Justin Fields for Bijan Robinson and Chris Olave. Joe, what do you think about that one?
Well, one trade, and now I don't know if this is a super flex league or not, but there is one player in this deal who, in theory, might lose his job. I think we're a long way from crossing that bridge, but you have to admit Tyson Bagent, a UDFA out of a D2 school, has acquitted himself pretty well in what we've seen of him so far. The Bears offense moved decently. And Justin Fields has a thumb injury right now. I have to take the Olave side of this deal. I have to. I don't think Olave is going to face discipline. We'll see if more details come out. I don't think he will face discipline. But that to me looks like two useful players for a guy, for Amari Cooper in a deal where one of the players might be completely useless for fantasy football the rest of the year.
Erickson, Amari Cooper and Justin Fields, or Bijan Robinson and Chris Olave?
I want Bijan. And so the other guys are just kind of like parts, like Olave, yeah. Cooper, like they're both boomer bust wide receivers. I don't really, you know, they're indifferent to which one I have, like they'll have their weeks here and there. And then Justin Fields obviously comes, I think, with more risk than Bijan. Like I get people are be like, oh, well, Bijan's going to lose his job to Cordero Patterson. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. So I'll take the Bijan side with Olave.
Joe, let's move to our buy low wide receiver segment. And I'm going to spoil yours. It's Devontae Smith. And I bring it up because one of our listener questions was actually, Is it time to offload Devontae Smith? So clearly, if you have him in a buy low segment, you're hoping he offloads him onto you.
Right. So here's the deal. First and foremost, Nick Sirianni is the single most reliable greasy wheel squeaker that there, squeaky wheel greaser that there is in fantasy football. And I know Devontae Smith's been a little frustrated with his role. He also had some uncharacteristic drops in that game against the Jets. There's another factor here for Devontae Smith. A.J. Brown is on an all-time heater. Like, literally, A.J. Brown has had 125 receiving yards in five straight games. The only other player to do that in the Super Bowl era is Calvin Johnson. So if A.J. Brown does that again this weekend against the Commanders, who he torched for 170 and two a couple weeks ago, they've since benched Emmanuel Forbes, then he's going to break the NFL record. And I think they're going to give him an opportunity to do that. But there is a couple of factors here for Smith that I like. Number one, the Eagles are still a pass-heavy team. They are currently tied with the Jaguars for sixth most pass-heavy team in terms of pass rate over expectation. So you know they're going to come out and they're going to throw the football. Number two, last year, per our data suite, our self-charted data at fantasy points, Devontae Smith had a 29% first read target share right behind A.J. Brown at 32.1%. That has gone way in the favor of Brown this year. Brown's second to only Garrett Wilson in terms of first read target share at 42.3%. Devontae's down at 22.8%. I think that levels out as the season goes on. The Eagles still aren't clicking 100% well. Jalen Hurts is turning the ball over a lot. He's already turned it over more than he did last year. And it does seem like they're just riding A.J. Brown's heater. But I do think A.J. will cool off a little bit. Devontae Smith is going to emerge as a strong wide receiver, too, in the second half of the season, much like he did last year for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Erickson, Devontae Smith is wide receiver 16 in the rest of season rankings. Is that too high, too low, or just right?
I think it's fine. Devontae Smith was someone I wasn't drafting a ton of this year because I had concerns about how he wasn't as involved at the beginning of the first half of last year until Dallas Goedert got hurt. And then we saw Devontae Smith just go on an absolute tear, and it even trickled over even when Goddard came back. So everyone was like, oh, like he's going to be fine. And clearly that has not been the case because, you know, it's really hard to feed three guys. And if you've noticed too, like while A.J. Brown has had this absolute heater, Dallas Goedert has also been much more productive too. So eventually things are going to balance out. Devontae Smith is going to improve at what he's done so far. So I think that he does make sense, you know, as a buy low, especially because he's getting still a ton of targets. It's an offense you want parts of. Although, you know, Jalen Hurts, his health is a little bit concerning, you know, how he's going to hold up for the rest of the season, the way that he plays. But overall, still want to buy Smith.
Time now for our favorite segment. It's the Uber Eats player we'd give up almost anything for. This week, that player is Erickson's buy low wide receiver, Jalen Waddle. So, Erickson, what makes Waddle such a great buy low candidate?
Well, first of all, he's on the Dolphins. So you want pieces of this offense, and kind of similar to the Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown comparison, you know, Tyreek Hill's obviously like on an absolute heater, like just commanding the highest percentage of targets in his offense. He is essentially like the main part of why the Dolphins offense has been so productive along with the running backs. But Jalen Waddle's still been seeing decent usage. Again, 19% target share. He's dealing with a back injury on Sunday Night Football. Still was really productive. Caught six balls for 63 yards on six targets. So it's just like eventually like Waddle's going to have that massive game. Like it's going to come because we've seen it too often from him. Like remember, he's been a wide receiver one in fantasy his first 2 years in the NFL. And there's no reason to think that, oh, he's just going to finish where he is now, which is currently wide receiver 35. Like, it's going to regress to the mean, which has been an average for Waddle as a fantasy wide receiver one. So I think that he's always the guy that I want to buy. It's just going to take one big week from him where he goes for 200 yards because we know that's in his range of outcomes. So I want to make sure I have him for that deal. And then if I want to sell him after that, I can do that. But I want to make sure I'm ahead of the curve on Jalen Waddle before he has that massive game.
Joe, Jalen Waddle is wide receiver 13 in our rest of season consensus rankings. Too high, too low, or just right?
It's just right. I am a little concerned about that back injury, but he did get back into the game. I do think it's kind of funny that the three kind of buy low, three of the buy low receivers that we've talked about so far were the three guys who were going in that second, third round cusp who were drafted as fantasy wide receiver ones, but were the two on their own teams. In Higgins, Devontae Smith, and Waddle, and they're all kind of underperforming. But I think all three of them are just massive positive regression candidates. I really do. I think some things have just gone wrong for those guys, whether it be injury, uncharacteristic drops, that I think you just still want to invest in these good teams. Like, Erickson said, Waddle's on the Dolphins. Well, Devontae Smith's on the Eagles, and T. Higgins is on the Bengals. Like, these are teams we want to invest in.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, how like the similarities between them. And, you know, it's not just injuries for them. Like, the Bengals have been dealing with Joe Burrow's injury. Yep. And, you know, then you look at like Tyreek Hill also on an all-time heater just to start the entire season. So, that's an interesting connection to make there. Get food from your favorite restaurants, plus groceries and other essentials delivered straight to your front door with Uber Eats. This football season, stay planted on your couch and get anything, well, almost anything you need for game day by ordering on the Uber Eats app. Uber Eats, the official on-demand delivery partner of the NFL. Order now, alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details. Guys, let's move to the sell high wide receivers. Joe, starting with you.
Terry McLaurin. I want to get out of the McLaurin business. Sam Howell is on pace to be sacked an NFL record number of times. And you know Ron Rivera is going to counter that and say, we need to start running the football more. And what you've seen the last couple of weeks with Washington is if they haven't been getting the efficiency in the ground game out of Brian Robinson. So they've been working in Chris Rodriguez more to see if maybe Chris Rodriguez, because we know they hate Antonio Gibson. So they're trying to see if they get Chris Rodriguez as that early down guy. They are trying for something here to protect Sam Howell. Maybe trading away McLaurin backfires on me if they go to Jacoby Brissett. But look, Terry McLaurin to me is kind of like DJ Moore. We know how good he is. We know he can blow up, but he's never been a true like alpha fantasy wide receiver because of bad quarterbacks, bad offenses, what have you. And with Sam Howell taking the beating that he's taking, I think the Commanders are going to try to slow every game down. That's not going to, you know, McLaurin crushes the Eagles historically and they play the Eagles this week, but I'm just a little worried that Washington's going to try to slow that game down against the Eagles, and it's just going to be a very poor game plan when they had a good game plan last time. I think they're seriously concerned about the beating Sam Howell's taking, and I want out of the Commander wide receiver business.
Do you think there's untapped upside here if Ron Rivera is fired and the natural person to kind of elevate into the head coaching spot would be Eric Bieniemy? If he kind of says, like, hey, we want to emphasize getting our best player the ball or whatever it is, do you think that would make you more optimistic on McLaurin?
Yeah, it would. And like the last time they played the Eagles, you remember they gave them all they had, and that Bieniemy had a great game plan. Get the ball out of Howell's hands quickly, get him into a rhythm early, because nobody runs the ball on the Eagles. So that would be naturally the smart thing to do. But man, if Howell gets sacked early in that game, and I feel like it could be a house of cards, but I agree with that. That would be the one thing that would make me concerned about selling McLaurin at this point.
Now, Erickson, your sell high receiver is Chris Olave. Again, just to address it, we put this together before the arrest, you know, happened last night. We are operating under the assumption that there's not going to be discipline stemming from this based on the infraction. Obviously, pay attention to that story and, you know, adjust accordingly. But assuming there's no discipline coming from the NFL, you want to sell high on Chris Olave.
Yeah, because he Derek Carr is his quarterback. Like, this was my concern with Olave entering the year. I was like, I just wasn't convinced that Derek Carr was an upgrade over Andy Dalton. And I think through 7 weeks, I think I've been proven right, at least for the sample size. Now, Derek Carr, you could say, okay, well, he's dealing with the AC joint injury, the shoulder injury. Does that get better? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not a doctor. But, like, what we're seeing so far has not been good. Chris Olave had 15 targets on Thursday Night Football, and he was a disappointment for fantasy. In the first half, like, he was barely involved in the game. Like, two catches for 17 yards in the first half. Like, how is this going to get better? Do they go to Jameis Winston? I don't know. Because Derek Carr is, like, willing to play through whatever injury he has. They paid him a boatload of money. I think that he's going to still be the quarterback there, and I just think that as long as he's under center, like, you're going to just get more underwhelming performances from Chris Olave. So I'm not convinced that he is going to be the breakout guy that we all projected him to be. I thought that he had a chance to be this year as Michael Pittman, where it was, like, all hyped up. He's going to break out. Matt Ryan's his quarterback. Like, and I think that the similarities are uncanny. Like, he's seeing a lot of targets. He's seeing a lot of air yards, but it's just not coming together, specifically when it comes to touchdowns. Like, that's the big thing with Olave. Like, he's not used. He's not a featured piece in the red zone. Derek Carr would rather throw the ball to Michael Thomas in the red zone on, like, 12,000 fades than go to therapy. Like he's literally obsessed with getting Michael Thomas the ball. And it's the game plan. You know, they have so many of these red zone weapons. Kamara, Taysom Hill, Jimmy Graham. Like, they don't want to use Chris Olave in the red zone. So low touchdown upside overall. I know the schedule looks nice coming up. So maybe you do sell after he does have a big week, because it's like eventually you assume he's going to convert on some of these air yards. Like, he's top five in overall air yards this season, so eventually he'll have a big game. But I just don't feel hopeful that he's going to be this breakout fantasy wide receiver one like a lot of people drafted. So for that reason, he's someone I'm trying to move off of.
Are we really still listing Jimmy Graham as a red zone threat? He has one catch this year.
Was it a touchdown?
How many touchdowns
does Olave have? One. The same as Jimmy Graham.
I wouldn't call either of them a red zone threat currently. just quickly on Olave, Joe, pulling up his rest of season. He's wide receiver 15 rest of season right now in half PPR. Is that too high, too low, or just right?
It's about right. I'd rather have Devontae Smith, though, who's behind him. So, that's one of those things where I'll buy the offense that I know, even though it hasn't been perfect for the Eagles. It's an offense that I know scores touchdowns. Well, Derek Carr is addicted to 300-yard passing games on which his team puts up 14 points. Like, that is what he does.
Well, I think it's interesting to bring up because the guys we talked about, like the three main buy lows were Waddle, T. Higgins, and Devontae Smith. Olave or those three guys? Like, you want the good offenses, number twos?
Those guys. Yeah.
I kind of feel the same way. I'm just like, you know, like, yeah, Olave's the number one, but what good is that doing to me when Derek Carr is his quarterback? It's like, I almost rather have the efficiency with Joe Burrow as my quarterback or Jalen Hurts or these top tier passers where Carr is the reason why Olave is struggling. Like, Olave is a great talent, no doubt about it, but Carr is holding him back. Wormdy, would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely had Olave not higher than Waddle, but higher than those other guys going in, you know, in draft season. But you have to just adjust based on what we've seen. And I was buying the belief that Carr was not great, but an upgrade over Andy Dalton. And he just hasn't been. I mean, he's been bad. So at this point, you have to change what you were expecting in draft season. And he has to be behind those other three just based on the offenses alone. Listener mailbag. The last listener question here from Twitter is, who is the best player I can get for Ramondre Stevenson plus either Garrett Wilson or Zay Flowers? So, Erickson, who is the name you're looking at that you think you could be able to get for Ramondre plus Garrett Wilson or Zay Flowers?
I mean, maybe Tony Pollard. I mean, you're flipping running backs.
That was the exact name.
Because that's what you got to, I mean, especially if you're trading Zay Flowers. I mean, Zay Flowers is a rookie that's like breaking out all over the place. Like, I want something good back for Zay Flowers. And Ramondre, again, he's been underwhelming, but he's still a running back that you can play, catches passes. So he's not a horrible asset to have. So that's what I would say. Tony Pollard, Bijan Robinson. Those would be the names I would go after, but Pollard would definitely be the number one.
Joe, you said Pollard's your guy too.
That was the exact name I was thinking of. Like, I'm trying to think of like maybe a wide receiver equivalent who might be kind of underperforming a little bit, and I'm struggling to come up with one. You know, like
Devontae?
Because yeah, well, right. I was going to say like maybe Devontae Smith, but like I wanted to shoot a little higher than that in this deal. And
Cooper Kupp maybe coming off of a bad game.
Yeah, Kupp. Or
I don't think Kupp managers are buying that he had a bad game. I mean, he just sucked in that. He had two drops. Like,
he just stole
the touchdown from Cooper Kupp.
Could you maybe get Puka Nacua for those two? Like,
I wish.
But Puka's coming off a heater right now. I just don't think anybody's trading him. Like, so yeah, I could not think of a better name than Tony Pollard.
Yeah,
so
Puka's down at wide receiver 11. Down at wide receiver 11, like for week 8. I'm trying to pull up the rest of season rankings here, but he's one of those guys that, like, even if you thought the value was fair on getting him, like, people who have him are so proud that they got him you're gonna have to overpay to get him.
Yeah,
because just happy. He's wide receiver 10 rest of the season.
I mean, some of the receivers, I guess. So I mentioned Devontae. So I was actually referring. I actually thought Devontae Adams. Like, that's who I was actually thinking about. Or Keenan Allen coming off kind of another.
Oh, those are good names. Yeah, Keenan Allen's a good one. He comes off, and Keenan Allen just had a matchup with Trent McDuffie, who's a dog. So yeah. I think that those are really good names too. But yeah, Tony Pollard was the one that immediately jumped to mind, like an underachieving running back right now who has an absolute massive role.
We'll wrap it up there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. As always, for Erickson and for Joe, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again next time. Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.